Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Caped Crusaders podcast. I'm your host, Jordan, and with me always is my trusty co-host, John.
In this podcast, we talk DC, Marvel, Star Wars, theories, reviews, and so much more.
Anyway, let's get back to the show. Hello and welcome to the first official episode of the Caped Crusaders podcast. As you already know from the intro, my name is Jordan and with me always is my trusty co-host, John. How are you, John?
I am very excited and energetic to do this podcast and I hope to be here more often.
Cool. Okay, so as you heard from the intro, my name is Jordan and this is John. And we're doing a podcast because we thought it would be quite fun and just, you know, maybe, you know, every week we could find out new stuff about new movies that we haven't exactly looked at before.
Or every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. So, yeah, so as John just said, we're going to try to put out an episode every 2 weeks. Obviously, that might not happen because we do have lives. But, yeah, other than that, we will try, won't we, John, to get it out every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult, but yeah. We'll try.
I went to school with John, primary school, and we were both quite fond of superheroes and pop culture and Star Wars in general, from quite a young age, I would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was very nice to grow up in that sort of relationship with a friend that, you know, you have something in common that you can talk about every so often. But, we've been friends ever since, maybe 2009, 2010.
Yeah, and it ended in 2021.
So we've been friends ever since. And, so we thought it would just be fun to make a podcast, have some fun, and, yeah, just see where it goes. It doesn't have to be a five-year podcast. It can just be...
Maybe it can.
Anyway, I should probably talk about what the podcast is about. How we have set up the podcast is that we have done a news review and intro, I guess, schedule. So, we'll have a little talk, then we'll have our news segment, which, our news segment will be broken into rumors, news, and leaks. Then we have the review. So every week we'll try to do a review. We might try and mix it up a little bit once, obviously, we get more episodes, then we will have guests on the show, and then after that we might just have a closing little comment about the film, and then we'll probably shut off because you don't want to take up most of your time.
You mean you don't want to bore them out?
Yes. So that's kind of what the podcast is about, and what the schedule is. Obviously, we're just doing Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, DC. Is there anyone I've missed, John?
Don't think so.
No? Okay, so I think that's it. That's basically us. Today, we're going to be reviewing Iron Man in 2008 with Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, and a whole lot of others. Rhodey's in this one, but of course that changes over a few more movies.
You mean changes in the next movie?
Yes, yeah. So that should be fun. I think what we're going to try to do is go through all the MCU in order. Obviously, some of them we might have to wait, so we might have maybe a filler episode where we have... I don't know, we might review something that's not MCU related, such as, I don't know, Batman or, you know, Superman Returns. Enough about us, let's probably go to the news segment. What do you think? Let's go to the news.
I don't think there's much news today.
Well, we can always see. So, news this week. As you know, John, there actually wasn't that much news this week, but we did have four things we kind of need to talk about. So, I'll start. We had some set photos. Not very good ones, but we had some set photos. So, Thor. It's from Thor Love and Thunder. They're filming in Australia at the moment, so our hometown. And, yeah, what can I say? To be completely honest, they look like massive turds with, like, white veins going through. They look horrible. They're basically just columns. I do hope they're going to put something like CGI over it or something. Maybe it's just a template, but...
Or maybe it's just covered.
Yeah, but it's just... No, it's horrible. And people are saying it's from an alien world. At the moment, I know what alien world you're on, but... Jeez, it looks like a toilet to me. Yeah, it's not awfully nice to look at. Anyway, I'll skip that horrible news and let's go on to the Willy Wonka, Tom Holland thing that's happening.
Oh, no.
Timothy Chalamet. Tom Holland, what do you think? John?
I'm just not going to talk about it. You can talk about this.
Obviously, have you watched any of them?
Yes, I have.
Have you seen both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm guessing they're probably going to do in the vein of the first one.
They said it's going to be for a young Willy Wonka.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of a prequel of sorts.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't have thought Timothy Chalamet or Tom Holland, because they're just not...
Nowadays, they cast Tom Holland for everything.
Yeah.
Like Nathan Drake for Uncharted.
Why would they... No. Nathan Drake is in his... Look, it's Willy Wonka. They've already messed it up twice. To be completely honest, I don't really care if they mess it up again. I bet you we're going to get some hate for that. But come on. Let's go on to Mortal Kombat news.
Oh, yeah. So last week we had some promo images for the movie, 5 or 6. And this week they've said, well, there's speculation that there's a trailer coming soon. And the movie comes out in 3 months and we haven't gotten a single trailer. So I'd say it'd be quite soon that we get a trailer.
So what do you think about the story? What do you think it's going to be about?
I have no idea.
No idea? Yeah. It's
just probably a tournament, like the Mortal Kombat tournament, like Mortal Kombat. That's it.
Yeah. Obviously, it's going to be R-rated, obviously, because the games are quite gory, as you said to me before the show. It's weird that they still haven't put a trailer out. I think kind of the rule is that you have a teaser, which is shown 9 months before the movie starts, and then you have a trailer 1, trailer 2, and sometimes you have a trailer 3 before the actual film hits cinemas. But obviously, due to COVID, everything's kind of being delayed, and well, you can't exactly have dates
anymore.
Speaking
of delayed, Black Widow is set to be delayed again.
Yeah, till September? For sometime.
But I've just given up on it. I mean, yeah. I never really cared in the first place, but still.
Yeah, it doesn't, from the trailers, it's not exactly intriguing me very much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not getting the spy stuff I want. I want, like, almost like Mission Impossible or something like that. Something grounded and... Anyway, let's go on to Godzilla vs. Kong. So, I've seen the trailer, and I actually thought it was quite cool. Godzilla, they've said, has gone bad.
So they're not both bad guys?
No, so they're...
Oh, I don't know anything about this.
They're bringing Kong over to stop Godzilla, and midway through there's a big fight scene, which we do see in the trailer, and yeah, it looks... Okay, so the other films, just to tell you, were very... it was quite dark. And you couldn't see Godzilla. That was the one thing. And also, there wasn't much action. There was just... We had a lot of human characters. And yeah, human characters, you want to see them. Yeah, but you know, it was just... You couldn't see Godzilla very much and he wasn't fighting.
I don't get the hype for this movie. Like, I guess now I see what normal people thought when I was, like, hyping over Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Because they would have thought, it's like a guy dressed up as a bat versus an alien.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking it's a monkey versus some big monster thing.
Yeah, but they're bringing Godzilla over. Big fight scene. We do see a shot of a metallic, which I think is...
Yeah, you talk about this. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's Mechagodzilla, which is a robotic Godzilla, which was in the Japanese films and in some of the older films as well. Yeah, but other than that, we saw a lot of humans in. We saw that Kong is talking to this girl, that's the only girl he talks to. But other than that, we got a lot of footage, but we didn't get enough story elements. Obviously, there's going to be a big fight. And that's basically, I think there's going to be a lot of big fights. Anyway, and I think that's all for news, because that was a really short news week. Sorry, everyone. But guess what? We will be going straight into the review for Iron Man made in 2008. Okay. Iron Man released in 2008, directed by Jon Favreau and starring Robert Downey Jr. in the titular role of Tony Stark. Okay, so what'd you think, John?
I thought it was pretty good. The first two times I watched it, it was boring, but people are saying it's good, so I'm going to say it's good. And then the second time, I'm like, I guess I can see... Now, the third time I watched it, I'm like, yeah, this is a good movie. I understand why people say it's one of the best MCU movies, or one of the best. Yeah, what did you think, Jordan?
I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't very adventurous. Yeah, when you think of an Iron Man movie, you probably think, missiles, repulse blasts. There was a little bit, that, like when he went to Afghanistan and saved those families and all that. I guess the fight at the end with Obadiah, but it wasn't much. we saw a little bit, of fighting. Yeah, but of course, he's just beginning as Iron Man, so he probably wouldn't use all the gadgets and gizmos that he has under the suit. Anyway, we'll start with the characters, and we'll start, obviously, with Tony Stark. What do you think, John?
Probably easily the best character of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Robert Downey Jr. is pretty much the only Iron Man live action.
I think so, yeah.
He pretty much set the standards for what Tony Stark is, because before this movie, not really anybody knew who Iron Man was.
Okay, Pepper. Let's go on to Pepper.
She was mostly there to be Tony Stark's assistant, like...
Which is her job in the comics, so I see where they were going.
But she didn't really have much to do, except maybe at the end when she hacked Obadiah Stane's computer. So other than that, she's just there for Tony Stark and to get bossed around.
Of course, we do have the love thing happening in the middle where he goes to the gala event. We see that travel through all the movies up to Avengers Endgame, where something happens we won't spoil. Let's get on to Rhodey. Okay, so this is the character.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay, so Rhodey was in it, and I always thought there was something flat about his performance, I think it was about his character as well. He was very one note. He was just the military guy. Yeah. He was friends with Tony, and there was nothing else about it.
He was the military friend.
Yeah, and that means that he could... Easy way to get that, because Rhodey's there. But Rhodey is a better character than that, so you really need to, I don't know, go into his background and story. I didn't care. I didn't care about him, to be completely honest. If he had died in this movie, I would not have cared. Because his character was not... We didn't see, his dad abused him or something. Because I did not care.
This movie, it shows their friendship more than any other movie.
And that was the one thing I can give away from this performance, is him and Robert Downey Jr. I know, like, behind the curtain, they were actually really good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just something fell short, I think, and that's not very good in a movie when you have such high stake in such a movie, and then you have one act with a whole lot of actors who do such a good job, Gwyneth Paltrow, Robert Downey Jr., and then you have Rhodey, who's just a little bit flat. Anyway, let's go on to the big bad. Obadiah, what did you think?
Just another big bad businessman.
Yes.
That's all he is. And then he gets a big Iron Man suit at the end and loses, obviously.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So Obadiah Stane, his character was very, very... For example, and they do this again with the villain in Iron Man 2, it's in a suit.
Yeah.
It's a suit versus suit. It's like if I put Firestorm against Human Torch. There's just going to be a whole lot of fire. It would be more interesting if I put, I don't know, Iceman with Firestorm. Because then you've got a bit of collision of sorts. If you just put a suit in a suit, you know exactly what's going to happen. It's exactly Tony's Mark 1. So what do you expect? But saying that, the actor that played him was very good in the role. But the actor who played the character, I did not see his turn. I think you kind of saw it from the middle when he was trying to find out the arc reactor and how that all worked. And then he was very, I wouldn't say surprised, but okay with when Tony came back.
Yeah, because he planned it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's where you kind of got, no, oh, well, he's not, either he's a really bad friend for really not caring about Tony, or something's up. Then we have Jarvis, which I was surprised he was in this movie.
I mean, why would you be surprised? It's Jarvis.
No, but we did not hear much of him in this film. You hear him a lot in Avengers and Iron Man 2. You hear him a lot in this movie. I was trying to actually hear for Jarvis. All you heard was when he was in
the armory suit.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that was about it. I did not hear him any other time.
No, he was in the suit.
I love when Tony and him have a little bit of a joke or something.
That's like, more in Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's Paul Bettany. Yeah, so that's about all the characters. Of course, we do have the main bad guy at the base where Tony and Yinsen. Yeah, but I don't think he's really named. Well, he is named in the credits, but that's about it. Okay, I think we should go into the story highlights.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. Okay, so starts off with AC/DC. Okay, so this carries through most of the Iron Man films.
Yeah, including Far From Home.
Including Far From Home. Yeah, so then we start off with the soldiers and the Vietnam, how Tony is helping the Vietnam soldiers with the Jericho missile?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Jericho missile. Okay, so what did you think about the first scene? I actually thought it was a very good scene to show his...
It already shows you what kind of person Tony is.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It shows he's a little bit snarky. I was actually surprised that he wasn't, like, a turd. Like...
What?
He was like nice to the soldiers. Like he was having a little bit of a joke, but he wasn't making fun of them.
And he like let them take photos with him.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a nice guy. He can just be a bit of a douche sometimes as well. We learned from, I think, that scene, and it was awesome. And then we had the explosion.
So we can assume that they all
died. Yeah, we can assume that they all died. And then Tony is knocked out by his own missile, which gives him the alarms.
Yeah, that he was making them for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, though. And he's taken to the Ten Rings. Okay, so Ten Rings.
Oh, ten rings you can explain this.
Okay, so in the comics, Mandarin is a Chinese character who has 10 rings, on an alien ship, and basically the 10 rings are 10 powerful rings with 10 different things they can do. So one does fire.
They're pretty much Infinity Stones.
Basically, the Infinity Stones, there's just 10 of them.
And they're rings.
Anyway, so basically the whole thing is that the 10 rings is the group that follows the Mandarin. They were done a disservice in this film. Look, I did not know there were the 10 rings.
I didn't until you were saying it.
I think the second time I saw it, because when Tony is shown with the camera on him, we see the 10 rings.
Oh, the 10 rings logo.
It was really weird.
Because we didn't have the Mandarin.
Yeah, and of course he's the leader. And again, at this moment, nothing between the Mandarin and Iron Man has happened yet. So why would the 10 rings? Anyway, in this film, they're a terrorist group, so I kind of understood. But then again, it's the Mandarin. You kind of need him.
Well, we got him in Iron Man.
Yeah, kind of. We'll get to that later. Okay. Then we have the title 3 hours earlier. So then we find
36
out.
36 hours earlier.
Oh, is it 6 hours earlier?
36.
Sorry, I read that wrong. And
you read it very wrong. The award ceremony.
Shows Tony and his father. So we kind of get a backstory, and we have a commentary. Then we have the introduction to Rhodey, because obviously he gets the award with Obadiah. Then we see Tony at the casino because he missed the award evening. Just showing us again his attitudes towards others and himself, really.
Forgot Happy.
Yes. Oh my God, Happy is in this film. Where?
I didn't know.
Happy was. Gone in this film. He wasn't even in it very much.
He was in that casino scene, and then he was at the airport with him.
Yeah, I think that was about it, just escorting him onto the jet, and then
yeah,
that was it.
That's it.
But, he was...
I forgot he was in the movie.
But I did see it behind the scenes, and he did say he just wanted to be in the movie a little bit, just to have a little bit of a cameo, kind of like Stanley.
Yeah, because he was the director.
And he is the director for the next film, but not the last one. We'll get to that later, though. Then we have, the reporter who talks to Tony, and then they have the snuggles, and so we just find out that he's a playboy basically, which we already knew. Okay, so then we have Jarvis introduced in his warehouse,
which we already.
Yep.
No, it wasn't in the warehouse. It was in the Malibu mansion.
Oh yes, it was in the Malibu mansion because it started talking to the reporter. And then we just see we get a wide shot of his house, which is massive and on the cliffside, and I want it if it's ever sold, which it's not because it's not real. Anyway, we get the introduction to Pepper.
Oh right. Yeah.
She talks to the reporter, and then Tony's working on the cars, and we have. Obviously, he has a whole lot of cars, and that is later. We see that car again later in the film, obviously when he's having his flight test.
Oh, right.
Yes. Then we obviously have the airport scene, in which we are... Happy's here.
He was late for this thing too, as well.
And then he leaves on the jet with Rhodey, lands at the airbase, and then shows... Missile, is it? The Jericho missile.
Yeah.
In the desert. It was quite a good weapon. It was actually very smart of him to just do a massive shockwave. Then we have the scene where we have Obadiah talking to Stark at the showing of the Jericho missile.
Yeah.
And that, he's making sure that Tony's going along with the plan to then get attacked.
Without Tony even noticing.
Yeah. Then we have the explosion, which shows blah, 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 blah. And then wakes up all... battered up with a battery. I think it's a battery that's powering the magnet that's stopping metal shards from entering his heart.
Yeah.
He meets Yinsen. What did you think of Yinsen? We forgot about Yinsen in the...
Yeah, pretty much. When you think about it, he created Iron Man.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Because without him, Tony would never have been able to build the suit, I guess.
Yeah, and I thought he was a very compelling character. Like, I remember... Oh, yes, I remember the scene where he says, we need to live for our family or something. Mm. And then later in the... film, we'll get to it, but we find out that something happened to his family. And it just shows that he really cared for Stark, that it wasn't all for him, because he had nothing to fight for. Whereas Stark, he had people at home that were...
cared about him somewhat.
So, yeah, he really did care for Stark, even though he did just meet him in a cave. Then we have the guy says, you need to make this weapon the Ten Rings.
And so then they make
the arc reactor.
Yeah, they end up making that arc reactor,
which is the very first arc reactor, which actually is carried through all the way to Endgame.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, then we have the Mark One. We have a bit of threatening from the bad guy, and then he tests the suit, fights a whole lot of people, Yinsen dies, and we find out that he had no family. Then we see the Mark One fly away in a massive explosion. He escapes, falls into the sand, and then we find out miraculously
that Rhodey comes and rescues him
at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Then we've got Obadiah and Stark talk about the arc reactor and how he made it, which I thought was a bit weird, again, because he just got home. I feel like he should have a little bit of a break because he was in a cave for so long. But no, Obadiah asked, how did you do the arc reactor? Again, Pepper helps Tony with arc reactor, replacing it, showing that Pepper really, really cares for Tony, because I would not do that for Tony. Then we have Colonel Rhodes and Tony talk at the Air Force. And
remember, this was after... remember when Tony first came back, he held that press conference where he announced that Stark Industries is stopping...
I didn't write that.
They're stopping to make... They're putting a stop to weapons. And everybody starts getting angry at him for it. Yeah,
even Pepper and Colonel Rhodes are a little bit, I guess, dumbfounded is the best word to describe it.
Yeah, so then Tony goes to the jet base with Rhodey. Yeah.
And did you know in those scenes, those were actual people going off to war?
Oh.
Tony starts to design the Mark II, and then we cut back to the Afghanistan where the Ten Rings have found the Mark I's remains.
Oh yeah.
And we just start seeing them going, oh, this is the mask, okay, cool, we'll make one. And they're trying to put it all together. Then designs the Mark II, and then he tests, this is the silver suit, and he flies, he goes and does a test.
He does a bit of a test.
Then falls through his ceiling and then onto the car, which I mentioned earlier.
He falls through many...
Yeah, I was a bit confused. Cause
did he fall through the piano?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of confused because he landed quite gently, I thought. And then... But, okay. Then we have the proper suit. We have the ice build-up.
Oh, yeah. Because
when he goes through the atmosphere.
Which is important to note for the end.
Obviously, he does make some new adjustments so that doesn't happen. He then makes the painting job to the suit, and then goes to the party, of which everyone thinks he's not going to come. He goes to the party, and he sees the photos of the town in Afghanistan where the Ten Rings have captured families and killing people and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So he then moves over there, and that was a good action scene. That was a very good action scene where he lands, he punches some people into walls, and the visual effects were really good in this movie. I remember he landed, blah, 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 blah. He was very smart how he took people out. He didn't want to kill anyone he didn't have to.
Yeah, so he just...
he sent little rockets. And then I remember when he gets hit by the tank, the visual effects were really good. You could see all the scratch marks and the dirt.
Yeah, on his suit.
And you could see where some of the paint had come off and the silver was coming through from the earlier suit. And that was awesome to show that.
And so then he tries to get away, and then Rhodey and his military friends find him, and they're like, the Iron Man. It's like the only time you see Tony Stark trying to have a secret identity in the MCU.
Yeah.
And so then he calls up Rhodey and is like, this isn't me.
Yeah, but at the end, eventually, Rhodey finds out and Tony does tell him because they are friends.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to Afghanistan where Obadiah is talking and helping the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What happened to you when you saw that?
Because
I was quite surprised.
There were a few hints to it in the movie, if you realise it. But if you've already seen the movie, you already know.
But I was a bit gutted. Like, I kind of liked Obadiah. He was a little bit of a grandpa figure.
I can't say the same, because he always seemed... There was always something off about him.
Yeah. Then Pepper and Tony talk. Oh, and then we find out that Pepper goes into Obadiah's office.
Hacks his computer.
And hacks his computer and finds all the missiles, the Jericho missiles, the designs.
And even what is it, Tony, when he was held captive.
Pepper finds out, runs quickly out, gets the USB. And it was very clever how she...
put the newspaper over
it. Yeah, it was very... And then gave the newspaper to show that there was nothing in her hand, but there was. But it was very clever of her.
But then Obadiah found out quite quickly.
Obadiah Stane gets Tony and does that house. Little thing where it stops all his nerves.
It resembles
nerves.
A lot for Infinity War, like what Thanos was doing, stabbed him with the blade and...
It was very similar imagery. Then we have, he steals the arc reactor, Tony gets suited up.
After Rhodey comes and helps. And then you have Coulson and Pepper at the laboratory where the arc reactor is.
Tony and Obadiah fight, which was okay. Look, there was an older guy in a suit. What do you expect?
And a really
younger
slow
guy.
Suit.
Yeah, and a very slow suit. I was quite surprised how slow it went for the rockets that it had on the boots when it was flying.
It was actually quite funny. And then he used the ice build-up to his advantage from what he learned earlier with the Mark II suit.
And then Obadiah finds him, fights, and then Obadiah falls, and Pepper puts on the arc reactor to override.
And then
big explosion.
Up. So did Obadiah Stane die?
Yes. And then we have the press conference, in which the famous line, "I am Iron Man."
Yeah.
And then, then we have the post-credit scene, which is Nick Fury saying, "Do you want to join the Avengers Initiative, is it?"
Yeah, Avengers Initiative.
And that's where it kind of ends. Yeah, so, yeah. What did you think about the film overall?
I already said what I, like, that I, how I feel about the movie. It was pretty good. Like, pretty much everything about it. Except it would have been interesting to see what Tony Stark would be like in the MCU if he kept his identity secret.
Overall, I thought the movie was really good. It showed how he grew as a character in this film. Not so much in the next film, because he kind of goes a little bit back to his normal ways. But, you know, it showed his humanity in some points, how he could get friends, how he learned from his mistakes of being a little bit of a playboy and, you know, being who he is. And, I thought overall I'd give it, 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, I'd say
four and a half stars out of five.
Four and a half.
Okay, so 4.5 stars. I put 3.5 stars just because, you know, once we get to Endgame, I feel like it gets pretty like 4.5, like very close to 5. Because nothing's a perfect film, of course. But yeah, I think that's about it for today. We're gonna wrap up, but thank you for listening to the first official episode.
Do we have to say goodbye to them?
Yeah.
Please. Oh no.
Oh, and our question of the week is: what was your favorite suit and why?
What's your favorite Iron Man suit in general?
In general,
even the comics.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear. And we'll see you guys soon. Goodbye. See ya.
Oh, that's so cringe. I'm not saying that.
See ya. Bye.